Okay, so let's start. So the Mishnah, Perek Bey's Mishnah, hey, Hu Haya Omer, Ein Bor Yirei Chet. A boar cannot be a Yirei Chet. Now, this is something that Reb Chaim Elazar has spoken about many times. A boar is someone who has no Torah knowledge. Now, obviously, by now, I think you would realize why this Mishnah kind of epitomizes a lot of what Reb Chaim Elazar has been saying this whole time. Ein Bor Yirei Chet. You cannot be a Yirei Chet with no Torah knowledge. Right, because you may think you're doing great tzidkus, and in fact, you're doing total amaratus. In fact, you're going against the ratzon of the Torah. If you recall that story that he brought from Rabbi Kiva, right? The Rabbi Kiva says, you want to know how big of an amaratz I was when I was going to yeshiva, that on my way to yeshiva, I thought I was doing the biggest chesed, that I saw a mace mitzvah, a dead Jewish person died on the side of the road, and I carried him with me all the way to a cemetery. So such a big bal chesed. And they all said, Yanam Aretz, Russia, terrible person, what's your problem? And they said, why? He says, because the halacha is that Meis Mitzvah Koinim HaKoinim. The halacha is you're supposed to bury him right where he is. Right where he is, bury him. You're not supposed to move him all the way to the other side of the, you know, so far. So Rabbi Kiva said, you see from there, you can't even be a Baal Chesed without knowing Torah. Forget that you can't even, you know. So even without knowing Torah, you don't even know how to do Chesed properly. You think you're doing Chesed, you're not. The Torah says that that's not called Chesed. So in other words, this concept of ein bor yirei chet, a bor, who is a bor means an amaret, someone who has no Torah knowledge. Someone lacks Torah knowledge cannot be yirei chet, cannot really properly have fear of Hashem. Because if he has fear of Hashem, he thinks what he's doing is fear of Hashem, but in fact it's not. He thinks he's doing a mitzvah, in fact he's not doing a mitzvah, right? So there's a lot of examples in that. You know, people who, you know, out of lack of knowledge but sincere intentions, may feel like what they're doing is a connection to Hashem, but if it's against the Torah, then it's not. So a boor, someone with no Torah knowledge, cannot be a Yirei Chet. Okay, they can. I need to express my individuality and my spirituality and this. That's all great, but if you don't know Torah, then you don't know how to express it. What you're expressing could be the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing. So therefore you have to understand that ein bor yirei chet. And along the same lines of lo am haaretz chassid, a chassid is of a higher level than yirei chet. So yirei chet just means I do the right thing and the wrong thing. So if you don't know anything, you can't even do the right thing or the wrong thing. Yirei chet, you can't even keep away from sin if you don't know the halachas. Right, but an amaretz is a little bit less than a boor. He knows the basics, but he doesn't know the intricacies. He doesn't understand details. He doesn't understand why, when, you know, what's pshat, why do we do what we do. So he cannot be a chassid. A chassid is the one that goes lefnim mishur hasadin, goes beyond the letter of the law. So if he's not a boor and he knows the basics, he could be a yirei chet. He could do the right thing. You want to be a chassid though. You want to go lefnim mishur hasadin. You want to go beyond the letter of the law. You can't be an amaretz. You can't be somebody that even knows Torah but doesn't know the intricacies. Why? Because you're going to try to go the extra mile and it's going to backfire. You know, you're going to try to do something extra, and it could be not good. You know, for example, there's a big machlokes between the Noida B'Yehuda and Chassid. A big machlokes if a person should say the Tefillah by Tekiyas Shofar. You know, there's the Yehi Ratzon that you say in between the, you know, the tekios, you know, this should go for Avram Avinu, this should go for Yitzchak, and this is the Akedah, and there's like tefillahs there, are Pikaboa. So the Arizal said to do it, and I'm not saying whether you should or shouldn't, but some people said you shouldn't do it, because it's a hefsek. In the yeshivas, they don't do it. It's all those little tefillahs and small letters between the tekios. So I'm sure Sephardim say it, and it's in the Sephardis, you know, but according to those opinions that said not to say it, it's a hefsek. So here you are, you're trying to fulfill the mitzvah in the best possible way, and it could be that it's the opposite, right? I'm not saying that it is, but I'm giving an example, possibly. According to those that say you shouldn't say it, so then you're, according to them, you would say, oh, do you know the sugya? Do you know the halachas of a hefsek? You know, you're talking between the bracha and what's necessary, what's not necessary. Maybe that's inappropriate. So you're trying to do the mitzvah even better, adding in kavanos and adding in things, and instead you're making a hefsek. And obviously, if you go with the opinion that says you're supposed to say it, then fine. That's the Arizal. No one made that up. It's Arizal. It's fine. You could do it. I'm not taking your opinion on that. I'm just saying the person would make it up themselves and say, well, I'm going to recite this awesome prayer. This capital of Tehillim fits right in here. It's going to help inspire me and all that. So you think you're doing chassidus. And if you're Amaret, then that chassidus is not acting as a chassid. So these two phrases obviously fit into the general concept of Rambam's philosophy, which is that the limit of Torah is paramount, and that's at the bedrock of all spirituality. It has to be learning, so that you're not an Amaret, so you're not a boor, and this way you can express your ruchnius in the appropriate way. That's going to connect you to Hashem. Then he continues, someone who's embarrassed will not learn. Why? Because if a person's embarrassed to ask the question, that means that deep down, it doesn't mean that they're embarrassed to ask the question, but they're not motivated enough to ask the question. So someone that's not motivated enough to ask, he says he doesn't care enough about the emes, he doesn't care enough about the truth, that Hashem will grant him special siyata dishmaya to get the truth. In order for Hashem to help you achieve success in learning, achieve success in getting the truth, you have to be willing to show Hashem you want the truth. If you show that you want it and you're seeking it, then Hashem will help you get it. So he says, "Abayshon Ratzalim, Eino Chafetz B'Tivuna." You don't really care at the knowledge enough. Elim Kin Rono So Megala Libo Modal Emeshenu Maven. Unless you're willing to admit that you don't understand it, and you want to get it better. Oz Simenu. That's a Simen Ki Chafetz B'Tivuna. That he actually has a deep chafetz desire to get the knowledge. So the asking questions shows that you have a deep tshuka, cheshek, desire to get the knowledge, and that is going to get you siyata dishmaya. Then he says, v'loi ha-kapdon melamed. A person who's a kapdon, he gets angry easily, should not be a teacher. Why is that? Because it's the flip side of the one before. Because then the children won't ask. So you're discouraging the behavior that we said before is so essential. We said before the essential behavior is you got to be willing to ask and show that you really, and here the kapdan does not allow for that environment. So basically, because the nature of the child is that in order to learn, you need to be able to express what's bothering you and really desire to ask questions. So the teacher has to create an environment that's welcome. If he doesn't create that environment, then you're not going to be able to be a good teacher. That's how he explains it. And he says, by the way, the other reason why the child won't ask is because he doesn't really care what you have to say. If you're always getting angry, then they're not going to bother asking, because why should they ask? It's, whatever you're saying doesn't really connect to them. So he says, in order to connect, you have to create that environment that the child's willing to learn. That's how he explains it. Uvumakum she'ena noshem hishtadel lios ish. So he says, but you know, if there is nobody to teach you, then now obviously the best environment is that you have a teacher, you're willing to ask about, but Makum She'enish, if there is nobody to teach you, Hishtadlio says you gotta make yourself. You can't say, well, I don't have a Rebbe, sorry, I'm not learning. You know, off the hook. There's not an excuse necessarily. You know? So, you know, even if a person there was no ish around to teach him, Hishtadlio's ish. So again, Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner takes this Mishnah in the context of one's learning and the process of the learning. Okay. Okay, I want to get into the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is a very deep hashkafa point that Rav Chaim Volozhiner discusses a little bit, but a lot of Mepharshim discuss it at a greater length. It says like this: Afu ra gilgoylus achas. He saw a skull. Shetzaf al pnei amayim. That was floating on the water. So Amrullah. So Hillel, no Rav Gamliel. This is Rav Gamliel, I think, said. To the skull. Why are you floating? Because you drowned someone. Because you drowned someone, that person drowned you. V'soif metifach yetufan. And that, and the person who drowned you will also drown. So as he saw a dead person, he saw a dead body and a skull, and he says, you're in this situation that you're dead floating in the water because you did that to someone else. You caused someone else to be dead floating in the water. So mita connect, mita, you received that punishment. But the way you got here, maybe someone pushed you in, someone threw you overboard, whatever. The way you got here, that person that put you here is going to get punished as well. Okay? So what this issue, what the issue that, you know, he's trying to...
This is Pirkei Avot?
Yeah.
I don't recall this skull issue. I don't know, maybe I'm not so well versed in Pirkei Avot, but it doesn't sound like a
Pirkei Avot issue.
It's called Pirkei Avot.
Yeah, no, but that's what it says. Al de atafta atfuch, because you drowned someone, you're drowning. Soif mitifcha yitufun, and those who drowned you are also drowned. That's Perek Beis Mishnah Vav. So it's in Aramaic, so it could be that perusing through Pirkei Avot, you kind of, this is seems so, you know, the language is a little more difficult than the typical Mishnah, so maybe it didn't hit home. But this is, I didn't make it up. so the issue, obviously, that's being raised, or that the Rochaim Lashon raises here, is the classical issue of, well, if they deserved it, so then why do I get punished for doing it? Right? When the first time this issue is raised is by the Ramban in the Chumash, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to justify why he's punishing the Egyptians. So Hashem says, so one could ask, why should you punish the Egyptians if there was a gzeira that the Jewish people should get punished? So the Egyptians could say, look, they had to get punished by someone, so we stepped up to do the Ratzon Hashem. You know, you want to punish them. So I'm doing the Ratzon Hashem over here. So why should I get punished? Right? And the answer, says the Ramban, is because if the Ratzon Hashem is that he'll figure out how to get the punishment. It's not your business. You know, you're not here to do that. Number one, second, that wasn't your intention anyway. That wasn't your kavanah. Your kavanah was for your own benefit. And he brings proof. How do I know your kavanah was for your own benefit? Because you went beyond what Hashem had originally, you know, unnecessarily. They didn't deserve to the degree that you gave it. I mean, obviously, it wouldn't have happened if they didn't deserve it. But the point is that wasn't part of the original gzeira. So what the issue here is that one could, this argument, well, look, if that was supposed to happen anyway, why should I get punished? That was a famous story that a person comes to the Rebbe and he asks the Rebbe, can I have a bracha for my parnasa? So he says, you're parnasa? I can't give you a bracha for your parnasa. You're a dishonest guy. You're a ganif. You take people's money, you steal it. That's your parnasa. So no, you can't have a bracha for parnasa. So he says, Rebbe, how about like this? Everybody who on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem paskened on them that they should lose, that you should get money stolen from them, let it be from me. Right? Whoever had a gzera that they should get money stolen from them, let me be the ganav to take it. You know, so that's the same thing. So a person will argue, well, I killed someone. Yeah, but obviously if I killed them, I mean, they deserve to die. So it's not my problem. So Rabbi Volozhin brings the famous Gemara. The Gemara says that if a person is born in a mazel of red, a red mazel, the mazel of blood, he could either become a sheichet or a retzeach. He'll either kill people or he'd be a sheichet or a moil. So in other words, what he says is that, yeah, there's a gzera out there, and maybe you have it in you to do it. But no, you could transfer your koach. And even if that's your mazel, it doesn't make a difference. You could transform it and utilize it in a way that won't affect the other person. And therefore, the other person has a gzera, Hashem will mind his own business. Hashem will take care of it. But that's not your business. So therefore, everything that happens, even though one can argue that if the person deserves it, that does not potter the person who does the avera. Okay? So the person who does the avera deserves to get punished equally to the person, even though, despite the fact that the victim maybe had a gzera to get punished, that doesn't absolve the perpetrator of their responsibility towards it. Okay, there's obviously a fundamental principle, but you know, we have to understand that everything that happens is a gzera from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Regardless of that fact, the perpetrator of the avera still gets punished. And that's really what the Mishnah is coming to say over here. So, yeah, you know why you're floating in the water? Because you did it to someone else. But even though that's true, that you did it to someone else, the person who did it to you will also get punished. It means even though you deserved maybe this punishment. But if someone did it to you, they're going to get punished because they used their bechira to do it. So therefore, they're going to get punished for doing the avera, even though the victim was meant to get that particular type of punishment. Okay, so this is a question that comes up, a few places, whether is it 100% clear that everything, can a person use their bechira to go against someone else's destiny? That's a whole separate question that can be involved here, but. That this mishnah is coming to say that even if that was his destiny and you deserved 100% to get killed, but lemaisa, the fact whoever it is that killed you is going to get punished for that. That's what he says is the point of the mishnah. All right.
How does he see that in the lashon of the mishnah about?
Because he's saying the mishnah is saying the ataft atfuch. The one who you're drowning because you drowned. So at that point in the Mishnah, it's saying that even though you drowned someone, and that's why you're drowning. Mida kenegi mida, you deserve it. Still, this Mishnah continues. The soif, but at the end, matifcha, the person who drowned you, Yitufun will also get drowned. He's going to get punished for what he did to you. So you say, why is he going to get punished for what he did to me? Why is the third guy going to get punished if the second guy deserved it? And the Mishnah introduced that concept first. The Mishnah said, the reason you're here, the reason you're drowning is because you did it to someone else. But still, the person who did it to you will also get punished. Uh-huh. So they're saying that's the point. And the point is that even though you deserve it, still the person who did it to you will get punished.
Good.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay?
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
I have a question. Yeah. Are you gonna, the college gonna stream?